If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Welcome to CBS Mornings. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppola.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
Massive nor'easter that could slam the East Coast this weekend. Forecasters are expecting blizzard-like conditions, including high winds, low visibility, and heavy, heavy snowfall. It could be the largest nor'easter in years. And we're going to have team coverage, including a look at the all-important track of the storm from Stephanie Abrams of the Weather Channel. But first, let's go to Mola Lenghi, who's at Nantasket Beach. That's on Massachusetts Bay, where more than a foot of snow is expected to fall. Mola, good morning to you.
Well, today folks are waking up to a cold but common New England morning. But by this time Sunday, it's expected to look and feel much different as the Northeast gears up for what could be the biggest winter storm of the season. Here along the Massachusetts coastline, forecasters are predicting around 2 feet of snow. Now, coastal residents are well initiated to this sort of thing. They've been around and they've seen this, but still, many of them are already boarding up their homes, and those who have them are bringing in their boats as the winter blast could cause a storm surge with some moderate flooding. About 40 minutes from Boston, the town of Scituate, Massachusetts, is encouraging voluntary evacuations while handing out sandbags and preparing their emergency vehicles. Across the region, snow plows are ready to go, but get this, many of the cleanup crews are operating with reduced staff, partly because of the pandemic. Now, one local crew, for example, is working with just half of its usual team, which obviously means that it could take longer for the roads to ultimately be cleared. Experts and officials are urging people to monitor the storm's track throughout the weekend. Expect and prepare for the worst. Even if you are among the well-initiated and you're used to this sort of thing, it's better to keep an eye out and to be ready.
Okay, Mola, thanks. The weather story continues. As of now, this storm is set to hit more than 60 million people. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams, she's tracking it all for us. She's at the Weather Channel's global headquarters in Atlanta. Stephanie, hello to you. This does not look pretty. How bad do you expect it to get?
It's going to get pretty bad, Gail. And I've got to tell you, due to our virtual technology, though I'm in Atlanta, we are actually able to transport you to Boston to show you what the weather will look like. This right here is Boston Common, which is considered the oldest public park in the U.S. And this is where we have a blizzard warning that goes into effect on Saturday morning. And we could see the wind blowing that snow so badly it could obscure the buildings. Now, it is not just Boston. It goes from the Northeast as you head down the coast. This could actually one of the top five biggest snowstorms on record in Boston. Right now, the forecast is for 2 feet. The snow also goes down into places like Hartford, Connecticut, where we have a deficit of 12.9 inches. So this could be wiping out our snow deficits, and you see the trail of it going all the way down the I-95 corridor. Now, it's not just the snow we're going to be dealing with. Very strong winds as this low pressure rides up the coast. The timing of this has a storm developing as we head through the day today, and then on Saturday, that's when we're going to be getting hammered by the storm. It's throughout the entire day as well. It finally moves out as we head into the overnight hours, and by Sunday, that sun will be back. But it's not just the snow. I want to talk about those winds as well, because we could see winds near hurricane strength. Look at this, 50, 60, maybe 70 mile an hour winds with this system. We could also see coastal flooding and gale. Travel will be virtually impossible at times on Saturday.
Stephanie, you are hurting people this morning. I'm a little scared because it's not just the winds. It's not just the snow.
No.
I also hear that we have to worry about very, very cold temperatures. I hate the cold. So how widespread is this Arctic air?
I know, and it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt for over 200 million people. We're talking about temperatures below freezing as we head through the weekend. And in fact, this cold air, which is starting all the way up in Alaska, is going to make its way all the way down into South Florida. And believe it or not, Gail, on Sunday, Miami has the potential to be the coldest it's been in over 11 years. And of course, we'll have more from our expert team live all throughout the storm on the Weather Channel Television Network.
Well, the way I'm thinking, it's a big football weekend. Good time to stay home and watch some football, among other things. Stephanie, yes. Thank you. It's good to see you. I just think your stuff is so cool. Thank you,
you
so much.
Oh, thanks.
Bye.
Time to bundle up, that's for sure. Now to some breaking news overseas. While Russian troops continue to mass near the Ukrainian border, Russia's foreign minister is now declaring there will be no war. But he warned that Moscow will defend its interests. In a call last night with the president of Ukraine, President Biden reaffirmed America's readiness to respond decisively if Russia does invade. Holly Williams is in Ukraine.
A source tells CBS News that on that phone call with President Biden yesterday, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky asked the U.S. to tone down its rhetoric about an imminent invasion. Now, that may sound strange because, after all, it's Ukraine that has roughly 100,000 Russian troops sitting on its border. But actually, the Ukrainian government has consistently been urging calm, seemingly because it knows that panic, people clearing out supermarket shelves, people fleeing the country, would be extremely destabilizing. As you can see, things here look very normal. And that's perhaps also because Ukrainians have been living with Russian aggression for years, including a war in eastern Ukraine against Russian-backed separatists that's claimed more than 14,000 lives, according to the Ukrainian government. But this place, the Maidan, the square that is the symbolic heart of Kyiv, is a reminder of just how fragile Ukraine is, because it's caught in a tug of war between the West and Russia. We were here almost exactly 8 years ago when there were mass protests against the country's then president, who was pro-Russian. Now, things turned violent, state security forces opened fire, and it ended up with dead bodies on the pavement very close to this spot. Now, different countries have different assessments of what Russia might do. And there's no question that Ukraine perceives the threat. But the Ukrainian government seems to be trying to avoid panicking this country and its roughly 45 million people. For CBS Mornings, Holly Williams, Kyiv, Ukraine.
We turn now to Houston, where a man is in custody after allegedly shooting three police officers. Our Houston affiliate KHOU reports that 31-year-old Roland Caballero was arrested yesterday after a lengthy standoff with police. Fortunately, all three officers are expected to survive. But as our Jeff Begay shows us, it's just the latest incident in what was a deadly 2021 and already a violent start to the new year for police nationwide.
This vehicle led police on a chase through neighborhoods in central Houston yesterday. Its driver fled from a home after officers responded to a disturbance call. Once the car crashed, police say the driver opened fire on officers. Three of them were shot. Cell phone video from the opposite angle shows the suspect running away from the scene with what appears to be an automatic weapon in hand as officers chased after him on foot. Police say he then hijacked another car and fled. That vehicle's driver was not hurt. Police eventually tracked the suspect to a home where officers again took fire during a prolonged standoff. The suspect surrendered after several hours. Police say he had a gunshot wound to the neck.
These violent individuals, I'm damn tired of it.
Across the country, since the start of the new year, there have been numerous instances of police being targeted and killed. Also in the Houston area, a corporal was shot dead during a traffic stop. In New York City yesterday, a wake was held for 22-year-old officer Jason Rivera after he and his partner were killed responding to a domestic disturbance call last Friday. President Biden plans to visit New York next week, where he will meet with the mayor and discuss the White House's efforts to combat gun crime, including funding for cities and states to hire more officers and a federal crackdown on illegal gun trafficking. For CBS Mornings, I'm Jeff Begays.
President Biden says he will nominate a successor to the Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer by the end of next month. He has also reaffirmed that that nominee will be a black woman, calling it long overdue. Breyer confirmed yesterday that he will retire after nearly 28 years on the high court. Senate Democratic leaders say the confirmation process will be quick. Weijia Zhang is at the White House with more on that story. Weijia, I guess the question is, how quick is quick? Good morning to you.
Good morning. President Biden is quite familiar with the confirmation process after overseeing hearings for six Supreme Court justices while he was the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, the president says he's not only looking for the Senate's consent, but its advice to help him decide who will make history.
The person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity.
CBS News has learned that President Biden does have some names in mind to replace Justice Stephen Breyer. The shortlist includes Federal Appeals Court Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, a Harvard Law School graduate and a former clerk for Breyer, and California Supreme Court Justice Leandra Kruger, a Yale Law School graduate. Then California Attorney General Kamala Harris was on the committee that confirmed her. But Congressman Jim Clyburn, a close ally of Mr. Biden's, is pushing for federal judge Michelle Childs, who graduated from the University of South Carolina School of Law. Clyburn said Childs' non-Ivy League background is an asset.
She has what I call the kind of background and experiences that we ought to have.
Democrats want to move fast to fill the seat Breyer will vacate at the end of the term this summer. A simple majority vote is enough to confirm a nominee, and it looks promising for Mr. Biden. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin said he's open to supporting someone more liberal than he.
As far as just a philosophical belief, no, that will not prohibit me from supporting somebody.
But before he names a nominee to replace Justice Breyer, President Biden praised him as a model public servant who had these parting words on democracy.
My grandchildren and their children, they'll determine whether the experiment still works. And of course, I am an optimist, and I'm pretty sure it will.
President Biden says he'll also consult with leading scholars and attorneys in the selection process, adding that Vice President Kamala Harris will play a key role in advising him. As for his part, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he will take a fair look at whoever the nominee is, but he also warned against outsourcing the decision to the, quote, radical left.
Weijia, thank you. This morning, we have an update on the dramatic loss of freedom in Hong Kong. Massive pro-democracy protests in 2019 led to a widespread government crackdown. Today, a city that once had some of the most free media organizations in the world is left with almost nothing. As Elizabeth Palmer reports, people are only allowed to protest little things.
Last week, Hong Kong health workers collected sacks of hamsters to be euthanized. The government ordered a mass cull after 11 COVID-infected hamsters were found at this pet store. And heartbroken Hong Kongers handed over their animals. Mr. Tsui, surrendering Marshmallow, hadn't had the heart to tell his kids. I just can't bring myself to do it yet, he said. Public outrage exploded, and headlines took aim squarely at the authorities. Not long ago, those authorities were criticized with equal ferocity for supporting China's creeping authoritarianism.
I'm willing to go on the streets to fight for our freedom.
In 2019, pro-democracy demonstrations erupted in Hong Kong. They were a PR disaster for the government. And as it turned out, a last hurrah for freedom of speech. Also, the start of a crackdown on independent media. The mogul Jimmy Lai was arrested in 2020. Last summer, supporters gathered to mourn the closure of his pro-democracy Apple Daily. Then it was Ronson Chan's turn. In December, he live-streamed Hong Kong police trying to enter his home. And the next day, his news site Stand News closed down. Chan is still chair of the Hong Kong Journalists Association, but these days he watches his words.
You say you're sad. Are you also angry?
I won't say and criticize anyone because it will cause me to in a very dangerous legal position. But I would like to say that the environment has been changed.
And not only changed for newspapers, TV is under pressure too. And this internationally acclaimed documentary on the pro-democracy protests was blocked from being shown. Tom Grundy edits one of the few independent news sites left, the Hong Kong Free Press, trying to be impartial.
Surely impartiality is the problem, not the solution.
If anything, just ensures that we are ever more meticulous, basically, and I'm really proud of what a brave bunch of badasses we have back in the office.
It's a brave but precarious mission. In the Hong Kong of 2022, journalists can say what they like about hamsters as long as they ignore the elephant in the room, China's slow strangulation of free speech. For CBS Mornings, Elizabeth Palmer, Bangkok.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.